In Gimel Amud Beis in Maseches Yuma, where the Gemara and the Mishnah started to tell us about the Chamesh Inuyim on Yom Kippur that we have to abide by. Most prominently, obviously, the most important thing to keep in mind on Yom Kippur is the Isser Achilo Shtia. One is not allowed to eat, one is not allowed to drink on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah then goes on to tell us how much one has to eat or drink on Yom Kippur in order to violate this prohibition of Achila Ushtia on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah tells us that it's a malo lugmav for drinking, which means a mouthful. And when it comes to eating, we say kakoseves hagasa, which means like a certain size of a fruit. And therefore, we assume that that's considered to be yisuva daita. That's the way a person, if they eat enough of that item of food, they'll get, I'm sorry, not that item. If they eat that size, they'll get filled up. And therefore, that's the problem on Yom Kippur. And that's when we say you violate the yisur. So the Gemara now is going to get into a lengthy discussion about the idea of Chatzi Shir. Now, this is a very important discussion, and we started to talk about Shiurim in general last week. Where did Shiurim come from? Where did Kazayis, Kebetza, Nama, Tefach, all these things, where did they come from? So we spoke about that last week. That was a very important discussion that we had. But one thing that we left off with was a very important issue, which we spoke about, Rubo Kukulo. So let's just begin with the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. I just put the most important two lines of the Gemara on the top. Obviously, we'll get into the sugya more in detail inside, but just as a reference in order to get us started. So the Gemara says, Gufa, Chatzi Shir. When we talk about somebody who eats less than the Shir on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aser Min HaTorah. Rabbi Yochanan says that is part of the prohibition of the Torah that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. It includes not only the Shir of a Koseves Hagasa, but it also means you're not allowed to eat less than the Shir. Now, number one, the Rishonim point out, Chatzi Shir doesn't mean a half a Shir, you cut a Kazayis in half. It means anything less than the Shir, Rabbi Yochanan says, is considered Aser Min HaTorah. And Rish Lakish says, Mutter Min HaTorah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aser Min HaTorah. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say less than the Shir is Aser Min HaTorah? How could it be Aser? It's less than the Shir. So the Gemara says, Kiven de Chazi Litz Darufe Isura Ka'achil. He says, if every little bit is not going to be Aser on its own, then 0 plus 0, my father taught me, is 0. Right? So if you have Mutter, 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 and then all of a sudden it becomes Aser, that doesn't make sense. How can that be? If everything along the way is permissible, and then all of a sudden you get to a place where it's Aser, that doesn't make any sense. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion it must be that all along the way was also Aser. Every bit that you ate accumulated to become a bigger Shir. Now, once you have them all together, Aser plus Aser equals Aser. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan holds. And Reish Lakish says, no, that Achila Amar Achmana Veleka. The Torah said you need a certain Shir. If you eat less than that Shir, that's not considered to be part of the prohibition. And therefore, he says that will not be an Iser Daraisa. The Gemara comes out to the conclusion that we have, even Reish Lakish agrees it's Aser Midrabanan. Even Reish Lakish would agree that Midrabanan, you're not allowed to eat a Chatzi Shir. But here is a very important discussion about whether Chatzi Shir is Aser Midaraisa or Chatzi Shir Aser Midrabanan. Lehalacha, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. That's the way the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin both, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Chatzi Shir is Aser Min HaTorah. Even less than the Shir is not permissible at all. We'll have to talk in the coming weeks, how far do we extend this concept? Does it apply only to Machalas Asuras and maybe to other things as well? We'll have to see. Now, as we mentioned, we're going to have a lot to discuss, but just for starters, we mentioned last week the following. In many instances, the halacha assumes that rubo kikulo. For example, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin Daf Yutes, with regard to Hilchos Shechita, really the way Shechita is supposed to be done is you're supposed to slaughter both of the pipes, and you're supposed to make sure that they are now no longer connected to the body. Collected to each other, I should say. However, the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin that Hashochet Rov Simanim, once you split most of the two pipes, that would suffice. That's good enough, and you don't have to go later on and finish off to make sure the entire two pipes are shechted. Why? Because we have this concept of Rubo Kukulo. We have, similarly, a Gemara Maseches Nida Daf Chavtes, where the Gemara tells us that once you have a child that is rubo yalud, once you have a child that most of the body came out of the body, we consider that kayalud dummy. That's considered like the child was already born. Even though the whole child is still not out of the body yet, but since most of it was out, that would suffice. We have, let's say, the Rishonim tell us, someone who walks into a bayis amanuga, we know that that person is considered to be called tame, just for walking into a house that has taras. What if I walk in most of my body? So the Gemara says, the Rishonim say, once most of your body enters into the Bayis HaManuga, you are already considered to be Tameh. Why? Because again, Rubo kukulo. So we have examples all over the place, and the Acharonim say that by Dalet Kosos also, you're supposed to drink a certain shear. Once you drink most of the cup, that's good enough, because Rubo kukulo as well. We have one exception to the rule, where the Gemara says in Maseches Nazir Daf Mem Beis, that the Nazir has a mitzvah of Giluach after he's finished with his Yemei Nazirus, after he's finished with all of his days of Nazirus, we say that he has to shave all the hair all over his body. So over there, the Gemara says, we learn from the Pasuk Yigal Chenu that it means you have to actually make sure to shave every last part of the hair all over the body, and nothing can be left out at all. We don't say Ruba Kukulo there, but it means that generally, we would say Ruba Kukulo, unless we have a special Xeris HaKasif to say otherwise, we would say Rubo kukulo. So the question is, if that's true, our Gemara gets into a whole discussion. Chatzi shir asa min haTorah. Chatzi shir is mutter min haTorah. What do you mean? What kind of discussion is this? One, you say the same concept, the same principle that we have of rubo kukulo b'chala Torah kulo, seemingly that whenever you do most of it, it's considered like you've done all of it. So then why don't we say the same thing over here? The Gemara says you're not allowed to eat a certain shear on Yom Kippur. And now we're having a discussion, what about if I eat less than the shear? What's the question? As long as you eat rov, as long as you eat most of the shear, it's considered to be like you've eaten the whole thing. Shouldn't that be like the same way we find everywhere else? Everywhere else in Halacha we find Ruba Kukulo, as long as most of it has happened already, it's as if the whole thing happened. So why don't we imply the same principle here? What is the Gemara getting into a discussion of Chatzi Shir? One could have said, this is less than Rov, that the discussion in our Gemara is when a person eats less than Rov on Yom Kippur, what's the status of that? But barring that answer, what would you say in general? Let's say we're talking about more than Rov, why wouldn't we say Ruba Kukulo here? Yeah. A defined period of time.
Each of the arm kosos in a defined period of time is a little kukulo. But here, if you have less than a shear, let's say every half hour, is that considered rubo kukulo?
That's the question. That should be exactly the question, right? If I eat less than the shear, shouldn't it all accumulate to say that now it's going to be each part is an isser on its own? Okay.
Let's say Ruba both by its trick based off. It's fine, Ruba Kukulo. But here, the point of being started, if different shirim together, they're having at different time points. You take a little bit now, you take a little later. How do you join them together?
Let's say I only eat a little bit now and I don't eat anything later. Forget about the later. What about now?
So then it's not Rubo.
Why not?
It's less than a shear, how is it Rubo?
It's most of it. The same way most of the windpipe is considered as if the whole windpipe was shechted, so too over here. If most of the shear was eaten, it's considered like the whole thing was eaten. Forgetting about eating anything later. Let's say I don't eat anything later. Why don't you say I've already violated the aver just by eating most of the shear because ruba kukulo? Same way we say about everything else. Okay, so that's
where does the Gemara say that you're eating most of the shear? It just says you're eating chatzi shear, which is anything less than the full shear.
Oh, so that's one could have said. One could have said the whole discussion in our Gemara is only when you're eating half or less. But when you're eating half or more, then Ruba Kukulo already says you violated the Aver. Is that really true? Is that really true? So let's see. And in order to fully understand this issue, what I want to do is bring us to a discussion in Hilchos Shabbos. And from there we can extrapolate to our case here in order to answer this question. And it's a very important idea to be aware of. It's based on the idea of the Ragachever Gaon, Rabbi Yosef Rosen. He was one of the great Gaonim in Europe. And the Ragachever has a very important idea, but in order to fully grasp what he's saying, let's just give some background. So we have...
Rabbi Yochanan, right? So...
Yeah.
Why is it Rabbi Yochanan?
Yeah.
Only because it's Tawufin.
Right.
Like you said, let's say you eat something, you ate a Chatzi now, and it's not going to be anymore. It's Tawufin.
So that's the question. Let's say on Pesach, right? Let's say that's the question they all discuss. Let's say on Pesach, I have an issur to eat chametz. So I go ahead and I eat a half a Cheerio, and now the rest of it falls into a fire, it burns. And there's no more chametz around the house. So would you say Rabbi Yochanan would say there also that I violated the issur of chametz? Because chazi is tarufe, but I'm not going to eat anything more. There's nothing more to eat. So that's a question we're going to have to deal with in general. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean? Chazi is tarufe, does it mean theoretically I would be able to have more which would accumulate? Or does he mean, no, only if I end up eating the other half, then it's considered as if I've eaten it. But if not, then it doesn't count for anything on its own. That's a question.
Is Ruba Kukulo usually to establish an act, it's to establish an extension of something that you know has occurred, you know, that you've done. So an action that you accomplished. So here's sort of circular reasoning.
So let's say, by Shechita, Ruba Kukulo means...
Yeah, so
mm-hmm. question of whether you're doing an act of Shechita.
Right.
Right? The question is, okay, now you've done that act, now did you complete that act? Right,
right. So here, I've done the act of eating. The question is, did I complete the act of eating? Same way as by Shechita. I've done the act of Shechita. Did I complete the act of Shechita? Answer is, well, as long as you did most of it, it's good enough. So over here also, as long as I ate most of it, it should be good enough. Right? It says... Okay, so let's take ourselves to Hilchos Shabbos a little bit, and then from there, we'll bring ourselves back here. So let's begin with the Isser Tchumen. We have an Isser of going outside of the Tchum on Shabbos. What is the nature of that Isser of Tchumen on Shabbos? Something we've spoken about before, but there's a major discrepancy about how exactly to understand the law of Tchum Shabbos. Says the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, not like the Rambam himself in the Yad HaChazakah. So we begin with the Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he says, Hizharnu shelo lahalech chutz l'tchum ha-medina b'Shabbos. We have a prohibition to go outside of the Tchum on Shabbos. V'hu amru, what is this based on? Because the Pasuk says, Al yetze ish mimekoma b'yom ha-shvi. We are not allowed to go out of our place on Yom HaShvi, which means on Shabbos. Uba ha-kabbalah. And we have a Mesorah Shegvul Ha-Halicha Shehi Asura. When do you say that you've stepped out of the Tchum? What exactly is the Tchum? That is Masha Nosef Al-Alpayim Amo Chutzman Amadina. That is 2,000 Amos outside of the city. So once you've gone 2,000 Amos and then you step one step out, Afilu Amo Achas, that is considered to be violating the Isur D'Araisa of Tchum Shabbos. V'laleches Al-Alpayim Amo L'Chotzad Mutter. However, he says, going 2,000 amas outside of a city is considered an extension of the city. Once you step even 1 foot outside of the 2,000 amas, you have violated the Yisur D'Araisa of Tchum Shabbos. That's what the Rambam says. Now, this happens to be the opinion of Rabbi Kiva in the Gemara, in Maseches Erevin, which we don't follow. But the Rambam, for some reason here, in Mitzvos Lo Sase Shin Chaf Aleph, quotes the Shita D'Chuya of Rabbi Kiva. Okay, so that's the Rambam. Then the Rambam himself in Hilchos Shabbos, in the beginning of Perek Chaf Zayin, the Rambam himself writes to the contrary of what he wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Says the Rambam, Hayotzei chutz l'tchum ha-medina b'Shabbos, somebody who walks out of the Tchum on Shabbos has violated an Isur D'Araisa, and therefore he's loke, therefore he gets Malkus, because it's the same as every other Isur D'Araisa. How do we know that there's an Isur D'Araisa to go chutz l'tchum? Shenemar, because it says, Hayotzei ish mimekoma b'yom ha-shvi. So far, so good. Makom zehu tchum ha'ir. V'lo nosna ha-Torah shir l'tchum zeh. The Torah doesn't tell us exactly what the tchum is. It just says he can't go chutz l'tchum. Aval chachamim ha'atiku, the chachamim had a mesora, she'tchum zehu chutz l'shneim asar mil. Tchum means if you go outside of 12 mil. So now the Rambam mesoser himself. Which one is it? Keneged machana Yisrael. Where'd they come up with the arbitrary number of 12 mil? Well, that was the size of the Jewish encampment in the Midbar. And therefore, from there we learn that that's a Tchum Shabbos even today. V'kach amar lahem Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting up there giving his shiur. The Jewish people are in the desert. Everybody's traveling in their camps. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the big public shiur, and he says, don't go outside of the machana, which means our machana, which we are situated in here in the desert. So from there we learn Tchum Shabbos is 12 mil the same way they were in the desert. Fine. Umi divrei sofrim. And now Midirabanan, they changed it, and they said, no, we're going to limit it even more. But Midaraisa, the Isser is to go outside of 12 mil. Now the Ramban questions the whole assumption. The Ramban says, I don't agree with the Rambam here, I don't agree with the Rambam there. The Rambam is mistaken, and the Rambam really should have said that the whole thing is Midirabanan. The whole Shir is Midirabanan, and he says he thinks the Rambam is making a mistake, and the Holy Sotchum in Mani Rishonim is only Midirabanan. That's a major question, but the Rambam certainly feels it's Daraisa. Now in general, what do you do when the Rambam says one thing here and one thing there? What do you do when the Rambam says one thing in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and then he himself says otherwise in the Yad HaChazakah? Which one is more authoritative? So this is interesting that the Rambam himself writes a tshuva to the Reish Masifta de Babel. I don't know who that was, but he writes a letter to the head of the Masifta in Babel, and he says, Amarnu b'Sefer HaMitzvos, I forgot to put this on. I said in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Sha'al Yetzish Mimkomo Hu Azhar Alicha B'Shabbos. I said in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that you learn from this pasuk that you're not allowed to go outside of the Tchum. And then in the Yad HaChazakah, I said that it's different. I said it's Yud Beis Mil. So which one is it? Right? Someone obviously asked the Rambam Kasha. It's a steer between the Rambam and the Rambam. So they asked the Rambam the Kasha, and the Rambam answered, he says, no, no, no. He says, Ein kavanas otsu ha-sefer ladas talmud ha-mitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvos is not made to understand all of the details of mitzvahs. He said, that I just wrote in order that people should know what the mitzvahs are. But in order to know the details of the mitzvahs, there you have to look in the Yad HaChazaka. Ela lo daz inyaneim bilvad. Amnam b'chibur in the Yad HaChazaka b'yarnu zeh kevi kafanaz ha-sefer. So he says, whatever you find in the Sefer HaMitzvos, that's not the bottom line. That's just categorizing the mitzvahs, understanding which ones are counted in the Minyan HaTaryag, which ones might not. How do we make the count and what exactly the calculation comes out to? That's what the Sefer HaMitzvos is all about. Then when I get to the Yad HaChazaka, that's where I really get into the meat and potatoes of every halacha, of every sugya. And he says, that's really what's binding. So here's the rule that the Rambam himself teaches us. Anytime you find something where the Rambam says one thing in the Yad HaChazaka and something else in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the answer is, you go like the Yad HaChazaka. Okay, so that's number one. So here we have a major machlokas as to what exactly is the Trum Shabbos? Is the Trum Shabbos 12 nil? Is the Trum Shabbos 2,000 amas? Is it Daraisa? Is it Darabanan? That's the question. So the Achronim have a major kasha here. This is the Chassam Sofer as the kasha, the Tiferes Yisrael as the kasha, the Primi Gadim has it in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos. Why is it in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos? Because it's so relevant to understanding all the laws of Hilchos Shabbos. So here says the Primi Gadim and many other Achronim, I don't understand. You're telling me that the Rambam is not sure whether or not the Trum Shabbos is 12 mil or 2,000 amos, whatever you're going to say, but it's some shear. He says, why don't we say, how come you don't find anywhere? Somebody who steps even one step out of a city is already considered to be going chutz the Trum. Why? Because that's chatzi shear asa min haTorah. So you're shaking your head because it doesn't make sense. It can't be, but why can't it be? That's what he wants to know. The same way we have by Machalas Asuras. You're not allowed to eat a kezayis of chalev. If you eat less than a kezayis of chalev, Rabbi Yochanan says in our Gemara, and that's the way the Rambam paskins and the Shulchan Aruch, if you eat less than a kezayis of chalev, chatzi shear asa min haTorah. Ask the Prima Gadim and many others, why don't you say the same thing by Yisr Tchum? If I step one step out of the city, I'm already on my way to violate the Yisr Tchum. So that should be considered a violation of Tchum Shabbos. I'm violating Nisa Daraisa, chatzi shear asa min haTorah. Example number two. Okay, so let's see example number two. We have another prohibition on Shabbos, which is Hotzah. You're not allowed to carry outside when there's no Erev. So let's talk about a situation where there is no Erev. So the Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos, the very first Mishnah, number Dalet, writes here. A case where you have one person inside of the house, one person outside of the house. What is the Malacha of Hotzah? To take something from Rishus A and bring it into Rishus B. So you're not allowed to take something from a Rishus HaYachad, from a private residence, and bring it outside into the Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara talks about the following story. You have an Ani who doesn't have any food, and he's peddling around the street. And now you have a rich person in their house who has plenty of extra leftover challah, so he wants to give it to the Ani. Problem is, how am I going to get it to him? That would be a Malacha of Hotzah. I can't drop it into the street. Then that means I'm transferring an item from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim. He can't stick his hand into my house because then he's transferring it from my house out to the Rishus HaRabim. Same problem. Says the Mishnah, Parshat ha'ani es yado, v'nato mitoch yado shal bal ha'bayis. What if the ani takes his hand and he sticks it in and he takes it from the hand of the bal ha'bayis? Ha'ani chayi v'bal ha'bayis pater. So what the Gemara learns from this case is the following. The Gemara learns that there are three things that a person needs in order to violate the Isser of Hotzah on Shabbos. Number one, first condition you need is, it has to transfer from one Rishus to another Rishus. If you take something from this part of the table, you put it on the other part of the table inside the house, obviously that's not Hotzah. Hotzah only means when I take something from Rishus A, and I put it into Rishus B, that's called Hotzah on Shabbos. Either from one private residence to another private residence, or from one Rishus HaYachad into a Rishus HaRabim. That's number one. Number two, you have to do an akira. You have to pick the item up. But if you didn't pick it up, someone placed it into your hand, you can't get off the ground. So what happens? I pick something up in a Rishus HaYachid. Then condition number three, the only way I can violate it is if I do a hanacha in the other Rishus, if I put it down. But if somebody else takes it out of my hand in the other Rishus, that's not considered a violation of Hotzah. So you need all three of these conditions. You need number one, it's transferring from one Rishus to another. Number two, you need that it should be that there's an akira, that I picked it up on my own. And number three, you need that the same person who picked it up also has to put it down. If any of those three conditions are not met, you have not violated the Isser of Hotzah. So in our case, if you have that the balabais inside of the house picks up his hand, sticks it outside the window, and now the ani takes it from him and puts it on the floor, neither of them are really chayiv. Right? So you need to have somebody who's doing all three of those conditions, otherwise nobody has violated the aver. So the Rosh Hashanah asked a question there. I don't understand. In that case that I just said, when you have the balabais does part of it, and you have the ani takes it and does the other half of it and places it in the middle of Rishus HaRam, why don't you say Chatzi Shira Asimina Torah? We have a malacha of Hutzah. The guideline of the malacha is, until you do an akira, a hanacha, you have to pick it up, put it down, Rishus HaYachad into Rishus HaRabim. What do you mean? What if I did half of the malacha? What if I did half of the malacha? Oh, so how do you crystallize the answer? You did nothing. So when does it become something? So why is that? So how come sometimes we say, Chatzi Shiras Min HaTorah? If I eat a half a piece of chalev, then you violated something. Why? I did nothing. What do you mean? I didn't eat anything yet. It's only considered an achila when I eat the whole thing. And over here, when I do a half of picking up or a half of putting down, all of a sudden we say, oh, you didn't violate anything. Why don't you say Chatzi Shiras Min HaTorah?
Because you completed all the elements in the first one, where it's Chatzi Shir, when you're eating something.
You didn't complete. What do you mean? The Torah said you're not chayiv until you eat a certain shear. I didn't eat the shear. So you're telling me I'm chayiv even if I eat less than the shear. Well, if that's true...
Half of the full requirement.
Okay. Whereas, you're digging your own grave, right? So you ate half of the full requirement. Here I did half of the full requirement of the malacha, right? What you're saying is correct. I'm giving examples that we can't really understand why they're different, but they have to be different because it just doesn't make sense otherwise, right? So the Rashash there on the Gemara asks, why should we say that both of them are putter in that case? Why don't you say Chatzi Shira Asa Min HaTorah? We're going to get to your point in a minute. Now, Kayodua, there's an Isser of Chatzi Shira Asa Min HaTorah not only when you're talking about one Rishus to another, but there's also an idea of Hotzah B'Shabbos when you take Dalet Amos, Maver Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. Let's say you have an item in the middle of the street, and there is no Erev, so if you walk Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim with that item, you violated the Avera of Hotzah b'Shabbos. However, says the Gemara, what if you have a person who's stuck somewhere and he can't leave his items in the middle of the street? Let's say it's my wallet, whatever it is. It's very important, something very, very non-muksa item, I guess. So it's not my wallet. It's something that's very, very important, my medications, and I can't leave in the middle of the street and I need to be there and it's dangerous to stay outside. So the Gemara says, under extenuating circumstances, you can take it. Pachus, pachus, midalat amos. What does that mean? What does it mean? Oh, so what is it? Not exactly, but the Gemara says, let's say I have this very expensive watch, whatever, and I'm not allowed to carry it in the street, but I can't leave it here. So what do? I have my pills. So the Gemara says, you pick it up 2 amas, put it down. Then you pick it up again 2 amas, and you put it down. Why? Because as long as you carried it less than Dalet Amas in Rishus HaRabim, that's not considered to be a malach of Hotzah at all. Why not? Frekta Acharonim, why don't you say that? Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah. And in fact, the Rambam says, even lechatchila you're allowed to do that. Person who's stuck, you don't have to start feeling bad and looking around for a guy. You can carry it 2 amas at a time, 2 amas, it'll take you forever till you get home. But you're allowed to do that. Why? Why don't you say, Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah? You're not allowed to carry 2 amas. That's on your way to violate the Yisra of Hotzah. So we have this kasha by Hotzah b'Shabbos, number one, going from a Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim. We have a number two, even when you're outside in a Rishus HaRabim, the Gemara says, under extenuating circumstances, you're even allowed the chatchila to carry something, pachas, pachas, midalat amas, carry 2 amas at a time. And number three, we have the kasha by Tchum Shabbos. Why don't you say by Tchum Shabbos that anybody who steps even one step out of the city, even part of the 2,000 amas, is already on their way to violate the malacha, the Isra of Tchumin, and that should already be something that is awesome in our Torah. So some answer the following. Some Achronim say that the only time we say Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah is when you have something where the shir is not explicitly stated in the Torah. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat chalev, right? Torah says you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Now we don't know exactly how much that is, so the Gemara is going to try to explain. It's this much, it's that much, we have to figure out each case how much it is. When you have something that's not clearly defined in the Torah itself, we don't know what the shir is. So in that kind of scenario, that's where we get into this discussion of, well, maybe a chatzi shir should be aser as well, because we don't really have a definitive shir. We came up with the shir, so maybe you should say less than that shir is also aser. But where you have a situation where the Torah itself dictated what the shir is, how can you come along later and say, well, even less than that is aser? It doesn't make sense. What do you mean? The Torah clearly stated this is the only time you're going to violate the Isser. It tells me the number. If the Torah tells me the number, the exact shear, the measurement, how can you come along and say, even less than that is also going to be Isser? It doesn't make sense. That's what some Achronim want to say. Ahachaka, right?
Yeah, so the Torah tells us how much, but we say less. You shouldn't, because you might be better, no? That's what we do all the time.
Okay, but how would that help us here?
Because you're saying, how do we know if the Torah says what it is, so how right. Can we say something else? The rabbi said something else, because they want to prevent you from...
Right, they're making zera, but here you're saying that minat Torah, Rabbi Yochanan says, minat Torah, chatzi shir az minat Torah, how could it be? Torah in one place tells me X, and now you're telling me the Torah somewhere else says Y. It can't be. It doesn't make any sense. So that's what some Achronim want to say. So let's try to put that back into our terms here. So when it comes to Isser Tchumin, the Rambam says that's what the Torah meant. The Torah specifically states Yud Beis Mil, because Moshe Rabbeinu was given the shear in the middle of the Midbar. He said, Al Yetz Ish Mim Komo. It's like the Torah told you the shear explicitly. And therefore, in a case like that, the Rambam tells us that Chatzi Shir is not going to be Yosser. If you step one step out of that, then you violate the Yisr, but anything before that is not the Yisr at all, because the Torah said, only that is Yosser and nothing more, nothing less. Okay? So that's the answer that we would give for that. And what about Maver Dad Amos B'Shus HaRabim? What about carrying something for Amos B'Shus HaRabim? As we said, the Gemara tells us you're allowed in extenuating circumstances to carry something two amas at a time. Why don't you say Chatzi Shir Asim in HaTorah? And don't tell me because the Torah said you're not allowed to carry Dalet Amas B'Shus HaRabim, because I challenge you. Look throughout all the pages of Chumash and nowhere will you find that the Torah ever says you're not allowed to carry Dalet Amas B'Shus HaRabim. So that wouldn't be a sufficient answer. So we're back to the drawing board. So we have to figure out what is the answer. So the Prima Gadim answers in his Akdama to Hilchos Shabbos as follows. And from there, we can learn to our case as well. He said the only time, which is what Avi was saying, the only time that you can say Chatzi Shir Asim in HaTorah is where you have something that you have violated an Isser, just not a complete Shir. But he says, where you've done only what we refer to as a Chatzi Malacha. I haven't gotten off the ground yet. I didn't do anything. Let's say, take for example, we have an Isser of Bishul B'Shabbos. Not allowed to cook on Shabbos. When did I violate the Isser? When I cook. Right? Havara, you're not allowed to make a fire. What are you going to tell me? It's a Chatzi Shir if I put a match next to a box to strike it? That's already a Chatzi Shir of an Avera? You didn't get off the ground. You didn't do anything. The only time you violated the Avera of Havara is when you did the Malacha, when you did it. So he says, we have this concept of a Chatzi Shir, but not of a Chatzi Malacha. There's no such thing as a Chatzi Malacha. Torah tells you can only violate the Malacha when the Malacha is done, when you've completed it. There's no such thing as doing a half a completion. It's not done. You didn't do anything yet. Malachas are when you do something that is constructive. But here you haven't started to do anything constructive because nothing happened. And therefore he says, that's why we don't say Chatzi Shir Asim in HaTorah by Hotzah. And we don't say Chatzi Shir Asim in HaTorah by Mavir Dal Adam B'Shus HaRabim. And we don't say it by Yisr Tchumen either. Now, very nice. It sounds like a bunch of words. But it still doesn't really clarify how are you Magdir. What is the difference? So, the best answer to that is, the best way of explaining all of this is, what my father quotes from the Ragad Shavar in the Tzafnas Paneach. And he writes basically, let's read it together. He writes, when he's talking about a mikvah that's less than 40 sa'ah. We know that in order for a mikvah to be valid, to be used for somebody who's tamei, it has to have a minimum of 40 sa'ah. So he asked, the Ragad Shavar asked, what about if you have a mikvah that's 20 sa'ah? Why don't you say rubah kukula? That sounds like a silly question. Almost as silly as the question that the Gaonim ask. Why don't you say that on Shabbos morning, as long as I kept Shabbos for a little bit, rubah kukula, I'm allowed to, you know, mix the same kukula, I'm allowed to go and go to work the rest of Shabbos, right? Why not? We say by Avelis mixes Yom Kukulo, so why don't you say by every Shabbos and Yom Tiv, keep a little bit of Shabbos and Yom Tiv, and then you can go to work. And then you can do whatever you want, it's no problem. So, also a strange question. So, here, ask the Ragad Shavar, why don't you say by a mikvah, that yes, we understand the Gemara tells us that you have to have a minimum of 40 sa, but why don't you say Ruba Kukulo, as long as you have 40 sa, as long as you have 20 sa, that should be good enough. Chatzi Shir, that's good enough. Same way it works in the other direction for Isser, we should say Chatzi Shir works for Heter also, for a mitzvah. So that's a question that he asks and that he deals with. So let's read it together. Let's see what he says. So, Ayin Shuvas Tafan Espanach Shechakar, that he has a Chakira, Begeder Hashir Lemem Sa LeMikvah. What does it mean when the Torah says we need to have 40 Sa in order to have a qualified Mikvah? Is that what we refer to as a Shiur Nekuda? Here's the important line. Is this a Shiur Nekuda or is it a Shiur Mitztarif? And in those four words are really the answer to all these questions. We have two different Shiurim in the Torah. Sometimes you have what you refer to as a Shiur Nekuda, which means this is a definitive Shiur. Either you have it or you don't. Sometimes you have what we refer to as a Shiur Mitztarif, which means it's a collective, a cumulative Shiur. If you have the aggregate of all these different parts, then you have violated the Aveira. But less than that is nothing. So the Ragat Shavar is trying to understand, when the Torah says we need to have 40 Sa'a for a mikvah, what is that requirement? Is that what we refer to as a Shiur Nekuda, which means anything less than 40 Sa'a means it's nothing? Or is that considered a Shiur Mitztarif, which means every little bit adds up and accumulates to 40 Sa'a, and as long as you have most of it, that should be good enough? That's like Chatzi Shiur, that's like Ruba Kukula. Let's read what the Ragat Shavar says. Kolomar, Ibn mikvah hapchusa mimem sa. If you have a mikvah that is less than 40 sa in it, is that like a mikvah psula? Oh, she'ein aleha shem mikvah klal. So it sounds like semantics. What does it mean? Something that is less than 40 sa you can't use. Why? Because the Gemara says less than 40 sa doesn't work. Doesn't mean that you can't use it because it's nothing. Or doesn't mean that it's close. It's close to a mikvah. It's on its way. It's a chatzi shiur of a mikvah. You're missing something. You say, what's the difference? Come on. It's the same thing. Either way, you can't use it. Right? No? What's the difference? It sounds like it's words. What? Nafkamina is as follows. So we know the Gemara tells us, what? Oh. Oh. So listen as follows. So Reb Chaim has the following idea. The Gemara tells us that when you're doing tefilas kelim, you're allowed to use a mikveh that is smaller than the mikveh that's necessary for human being. So the Gemara tells us that for tefilas kelim, you can have something that's even less. So here the question is as follows. Why do we need for tefilas adam, for a human being to go into a mikveh, why do we need 40 sa? Because the Gemara says most normal people can't fit into a mikveh that's less than 40 sa. Since when you go into a mikveh, you're expected to cover your whole body in water. There's no way to do that in less than 40 sa. Shiru chachamim. The Gemara says that the chachamim came up with a measurement that that's going to be somewhere around 40 sa. So that's the cutoff. So now here's the following. We have a concept. If anyone has ever been to a mikveh, into the inner workings of a mikveh, how does it work? Anybody knows how a mikveh works? You have hashaka. So what does it mean, hashaka? We have one small bar that was filled up with rainwater. But we don't want to keep emptying that, and when everybody comes and gets it all dirty every day when they use it, we don't want to have to keep waiting for rainwater, because what's going to happen if we drain it out because it's dirty water, and then it's not going to rain for a week. What do we do then? So we keep it safe. What do? We fill up one bar that has all the rainwater. Fill it up. Then you make a little hole on the top of that pit, which connects it to a pit full of water that was filled up from the faucet, which obviously you can't use faucet water for a mikveh. But since it's connected to a mikveh, that's kasher, so therefore we assume that's able to kasher this whole mikveh as well. That's called hashaka. As long as you connect the mikveh kshera to a mikveh that's not kasher, it now is going to be able to overwhelm the pasul of mikveh, and it's going to make it kosher as well. And then, scientifically, it makes sense that since the hole is all the way on the top of the kosher mikveh, all the dirty water that the people have been dipping in is not going to transfer over to the kosher water. It doesn't work that way. So what we do is, we open the plug, and we make sure that they're always connected to each other, and then we just, whenever we want to drain out the dirty water, we put the plug in, drain out the dirty water, and then we refill it with clean water again, then we open the plug. Okay, that's called hashaka. That's what we do, that's the way all mikvahs are made. If you hear from Mariv, Mariv's going to be in the main shul, right next door. So, that's the way a mikvah goes. So Reb Chaim had the following question. What does the human being have to go into? 40 sa. So we're going to fill up faucet water of 40 sa into a big bathtub, right? Into a big pit. We have to connect it to a mikvah kshera. What size mikvah kshera do you need? What kind of mikvah do you need? You need a kalim size, or do you need a person size?
Well, the second mikvah that's connected to the first mikvah needs to be the person size, and the
other
needs to be the kalim size.
Oh, so how do you look at a mikvah that's less than 40 sa? Do you say a mikvah like that is a nothing? It's a bathtub. Come on, that's not. It doesn't have the shear. You need 40 sa for a human being to go into. If it doesn't have 40 sa, it doesn't have 40 sa. It's nothing. Or do you say no? That's already something. A human being can't go in it, but it's already considered a mikvah. You can't use it for yourself, but maybe that's already considered enough of a mikvah to make this mikvah kosher. And there, says the Ragat Shavar, is where we get into this discussion. When we say that you need 40 sa for a mikvah in order for it to be usable for a human being, do we say that's a sheer nekuda? That's a definitive shear. If you have anything less than that size, it's totally invalid, it doesn't work at all, and therefore you cannot use that in order to fulfill your obligation of hashaka from one to the other and kasher this mikvah. Or do you say, no, this is a shear mitzdarif. When the Torah says that you need arbaim sa by a mikvah, that you need 40 sa in order to have a kosher mikvah for people to go into, maybe that means that the Torah said you have to have 20, 20, 20, 20, whatever, not 20, 20, 20, so many times, 10, 10, 10, and 10, and then you're going to have 40 altogether, and then it's going to be kosher. But along the way also, it might be considered already a shtickle kosher for something else, and that's kosher enough to make this mikvah kosher as well. So that's a question that the Ragat Shavar discusses by a mikvah, whether it's a shir nekuda or a shir mitzdarf. And in my opinion, I think, maybe it's just the way I was raised, because my father taught me a lot of what I know, or all of that I know. So maybe that's just, in my mind, the easiest way to explain this issue as well. We talk in our Gemara about the issue of chatzi shir, whether chatzi shir asur min haTorah or not. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that even less than a full shir is considered to be asur min haTorah. That's the way the Rambam holds, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's the way we paskin la halacha. Chatzi shir is asur as well, not just the full shir. So the question is, where do you draw the line? When do you say that even less than the shear is considered off limits, is considered asur min haTorah? When do you say less than the shear is nothing? Let's say by hotzah, we said, if you don't have all three of the components, you take it from one rishus to another, or you don't have an akira and a hanacha, or you're carrying it outside of rishus harabim without walking dalet amas, we say, all those are not considered malacha at all. Why not? Why don't you say chatzi shear asur min haTorah, as the prima gadim and chasam sofer and everybody else? We should say chatzi shir asur min haTorah like we say by achila. So the Prima Gadim answers, there's no such thing as a chatzi malacha. Why not? What do you mean? What's the difference between a malacha and an isur achila? The same way that there's an isur achila, and until you do, even if you do part of what you needed to do, you're already considered in violation of the isur. So to over here, as long as I did part of the violation, I stepped one step out of where I was supposed to, or I walked with something in my hands, even two amos in Rishus HaRabim. Why didn't you say, Chatzi Shir Asur Min haTorah, I already violated something. So he doesn't really explain what's the difference between a Chatzi Malach and a Chatzi Shir. The answer, says the Ragat Shavar, is it's very simple. The answer is some Shirim that the Torah gave us are what we call a Shir Nekuda. Either you have it or you don't. The Torah says this is the definitive number. Either you got the Kazayis or you don't have the Kazayis. Either you have the Dalet Amos and Rishus HaRabim or you don't have it. Either you went from a Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim with the item in your hand or you don't. If you don't have it, you have nothing. Nothing got off the ground. That's what we call a Shir Nekuda. Sometimes the Torah said, that's it. And without that, you have nothing. But other times the Torah said, we have a more cumulative Shir. And therefore we say, that's called a Shir Mitzdarif. And anything you do before that shear is also considered to be asur as well. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan says in our Gemara. The reason why chatzi shear asur min haTorah is chazi litztarufe. Makes a lot of sense. He says because you can't say 0 plus 0 equals 0. So how can you get to the isur? The answer is it's only 1 plus 1 equals 2. It can only add up to something if it was usr all along, little piece of isr, and then it adds up to something bigger. It's exactly what the Ragat Shavar is explaining here. When we talk about machalas asuras, that's where the Gemara tells us, chatzi shir asur min haTorah, because that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan teaches, chazi litztarufe. It's a shir mitztarif. Every little bit that you eat joins to another little bit in order to formulate this big shir that's necessary to violate the Avera in general of Achila on Yom Kippur, or Achilas Isurim on Achilas Machalas Asuras and many other instances in Halacha as well. So we'll talk